We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ayo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox postgame show. Presented by PointsBet, use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Welcome into Studio B of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm Sean Anderson, the host of the CHGO White Sox podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. And alongside me, as always, is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter at EchnerWall23. He's the CHGO White Sox community leader. We are joining you after the series finale of the Rockies and White Sox. And the White Sox lost.
Of course.
White Sox lost 3-0. They split the season series and this series with the Colorado Rockies. Our guy Alec chiming in. This one stings. Herb, I think I already saw it before our chat started rolling into us. Someone said, season's over. How you feeling?
I mean, how many times have we said the season's over? It's been the same thing, as Vinny said. It's a roller coaster with no ups and downs, really. It's like a little blip, and then you go right back up. A little blip, go right back up. But for the main part, if you look and zoom out, just a straight line. That's what the White Sox are doing. Watch them go out there and beat the Guardians tomorrow. Have a good series in Detroit. Beat the Guardians next week. They're one out, or they're in first place. Like, this series season cannot be over because they still have games to play versus the Cleveland Guardians. Now, it's not very encouraging how they played today versus the Colorado Rockies, who are also ran. They're not good at all. That pitcher, Freeland, while he dominated the White Sox today, is no damn good at all. And so, yes, I can see how people can be discouraged, especially how they play versus Colorado Rockies, even though yesterday was a win. It wasn't encouraging after coming off of Oakland, losing that last game in Oakland and how they lost. Very discouraging. And Cleveland's been on fire. I think we got into a false sense of, okay, here we go, because Cleveland losing all those games to the Mariners while the White Sox won versus the Mariners and the Oakland A's. And so it looked a little closer. But remember, it's going to ebb and flow. Cleveland will play a harder team next time they play. And then next week, the White Sox got them for a full three-game series here at Guaranteed Rate. So the White Sox can win all four of the games they have with Cleveland, and we'll be right back here next week and saying, here we go. Let's go, White Sox.
Right. It's not done yet, which I think is the main thing that you need to keep in mind. The math still favors the White Sox. They're still not done yet. There are magic numbers out there.
I think it's 19, right?
Belzer saying the season officially ends tomorrow. If the White Sox lose, it won't officially end tomorrow, but it will
be really hard.
It'll be very close to getting to that point. But right now, the magic number to clinch the AL Central is 19 for the Guardians, but I think with a win, that pushes it down to 18. So I think the magic number is 18. So there's still a long time for the Sox to make that up. And again, they're four games back of the Guardians. They have four games left against the Guardians to make up those grounds. And if they win all four, they'll win the season series 10-9, which would be good for a tiebreaker.
Yeah, and I remember the Guardians themselves, they tweeted out a picture of Josh Naylor, whose number's 22, after the Monday victory. So they won on Tuesday and Wednesday, so that would take it down to 20 by themselves. And the White Sox losing today would make it 19.
Thank you, Marcos, for congratulating me on my Sox math win. I thought I wasn't going to win that one, Herb.
I mean, you were pretty smooth about it. I didn't think you were going to win it either, because usually somebody with non-HD and somebody who's just like right up the typewriter is, or typewriter, computer is right there getting the answer. Like that that guy, I don't want to say his name. I don't know his name, but you guys know the guy who always wins the damn Sox math. He must be on his fucking internet immediately when that question comes out. And Sean was kind of relaxed about it. Like, I was answering the question before Sean, and Sean's like, okay, let's see, that is five, that's answer.
I thought, yep, I got the name wrong.
Like, did it smooth as hell. I was like, how'd you get that answer? And he, like, right when he finished, like, I won Sox math. Like, he didn't even know that he won it, dude. He's like, I'm smooth as fuck. I got this.
And I got Alex Rude coming in. He was answering 10 because he didn't know the difference between the Giants and the Tigers logos. So he couldn't figure out what number Gordon wore. But here's my issue. Mm-hmm. I put negative 70. The answer was 70. I'm surprised I didn't get it wrong.
Did you put the little dash next to the 7? Of 70?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It was hashtag SoxMath minus 70, negative 70.
Did you do the opposite where you subtracted the White Sox 15 from the Tigers number?
No, because they said Jose Abreu subtracted by Eloy Jimenez, which would have been 5.
Yeah.
And then they said Gordon Beckham's White Sox number minus his Tigers number,
yeah,
which I did 15 minus 29, which would have been minus 14. 5 times minus 14.
No, but you were right, 70. Though.
70, right.
Negative 70 is the answer.
Right.
Yeah.
So but they put 70 as the official answer,
I don't think that's right.
I think that's what you want. Well, I think that's what I'm going to be. I think I'm going to have my Sox math video just be a complaint. First off, you guys blocked me on Twitter. Second of all, you guys don't even know how to do math correctly.
Love are you going to do, what's that that thing where you're supposed to do, like the parentheses first and then multiplication second, division third?
Order of operations.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like, yeah.
Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally.
There you go.
Parentheses, exponents.
Exponents.
Division.
Multiplication. Add, subtract.
Add, subtract, baby. Let's go.
It's been a long time since I went to school.
We're teaching it. John Froelich saying Royals and Rockies shouldn't be a problem. Herb, they have been. You put together some stats about what the White Sox have and haven't done versus kind of these bad teams. You mentioned the White Sox versus the Angels. They had a bad stretch. They did have that 11-4 game, but they went out to L.A. They lost 2-3 against them. The Guardians had no issues against the Angels. Obviously, different points in the seasons, but suboptimal versus subpar is what you titled this little.
That was Steven.
This little graphic.
Steven Nicholas with the great titles there. Versus the Kansas City Royals, we already know. They lost the series in series 10-9. The Kansas City Royals won that one. Angels, they only won 3 versus them in the 7-game series. Texas Rangers, the same thing. Arizona, lowly Arizona Diamondbacks, PHNX. The lowly Arizona Diamondbacks. The White Sox were swept by them. And today, they split another series with the goddamn Colorado Rockies. These are series they should take advantage of. Now, they've taken advantage of the Detroit series and current under 500 teams like the Boston Red Sox. They won 4-2. But if those 5 teams, if you just win more games than you lose, or win the Colorado Rockies series, just one more game, 3-1 or 4-0, you're in the house. You're in a better position right now against the Cleveland Guardians from taking care of business versus also-rans, versus teams that are at the bottom of the league. They destroyed the Oakland A's. Awesome. But I think in some way, them losing that Baltimore Orioles series, at the time Baltimore Orioles were under 500, it kind of propelled them. They're like, okay, we're beating a team that should be the leader of the AL Central. We're battling here in the AL East, and we're going to go forward now and be a little better. The White Sox have not done such things. They have a 39-30 record against all under 500 teams, current under 500 teams. But that's not good enough. That's only 9 games over 500. You should be feasting on these teams. You should be eating versus these teams. And that's why the White Sox are where they are, because they don't take advantage of those also-rans, all those teams that don't play good baseball.
Absolutely. And I think it plays into why they needed to hear that whole speech that the manager made from a different voice, because you think about the teams that they've lost to, especially before Oakland and Miguel Cairo's big speech, like, the whole talk was the White Sox felt really confident in themselves, maybe to a point where they were overconfident. So maybe the White Sox just really felt like, hey, oh, it's Kansas City. We know they've been bad for, since 2019, right? They're bums. We can just handle them.
Yeah.
The Tigers were kind of hyped up a little bit because AJ Hinch was almost the White Sox manager. Javi Baez with the big contract. Eduardo Rodriguez with a big contract. You thought maybe they'd be a little bit better. You Spencer Torkelson, you know, Casey Mize, all that stuff. So maybe the expectation of like what these teams were supposed to be maybe allows the White Sox to get up for those teams, because Boston was a former playoff team.
Yeah. And we were thinking that winning in Boston, winning versus Boston, would propel them. It's like, oh, you're winning versus a good AL East team, which they did well versus the New York Yankees. They won that series. So they won versus the Boston Red Sox. These things are good to do, but you got to take advantage of the bad teams. And the White Sox just think they can throw their jocks out there and they're going to win games. Colorado has showed you time and time again, there hasn't been bad pitching in the four games, at least starting pitching, in the four games the White Sox have played versus them. Sensatella, Herman Marquez. Yesterday was
cool.
Chad Cool. And today with Freeland. All four of those pitchers gave good efforts versus the White Sox. When you look at the numbers before they started those games, you're like, let's feast, let's eat. And the White Sox didn't take advantage of four mediocre to bad pitchers.
Well, and Oz saying here, Cease didn't do us any favors, was expecting a shout out. Oz, love you. Love, appreciate. You know, you're always in here commenting, and we do appreciate that. Buddy, if Dylan Cease threw a shout out today, this game would still be going on. It'd be 0-0. The White Sox need to score runs, period. I mean, yes, Dylan Cease didn't have a great performance, but the only thing that hurt was his Cy Young standings and where he sits in that race. But outside of that, three runs, the White Sox should be able to beat the Rockies when they're putting up three runs, period. The White Sox need to score more than four runs. They went 0-10 with runners in scoring position. Dylan Cease was not the problem. Could he have been better? Sure. Is that the reason why the White Sox lost? No. It's not why the White Sox lose. They're 20-9 when he starts.
And like you just said, sometimes when the pitcher has an off day or a bad game, this wasn't necessarily a bad game. It's just an off day for Dylan Cease. You expect more. He should pitch better than this. But today, five innings, three earned runs, eight strikeouts. It was an all right day. And you should have those days where I'm not good, guys. And some days he's like, hey, give me one today. I'm good. I'm real good. One. And today it's like, hey, let's pay that favor back to Dylan Cease as the offense. We need to execute when base runners are on second base or third base and get those guys in. There's multiple times, I think, in the third and fourth innings that happened today. Roman Gonzalez, I think the only extra base, no, two extra bases because Andrew Vaughn hit one later on in the game with two outs. But Roman Gonzalez hits a double to start the inning off in the third. He didn't move from second base. Three straight outs. The next inning, first and second, nobody out. The heart of the lineup up, I believe, did not move those two runners there. What are we doing? Like, what's the execution looking like? Like, the first batter in both of those sequences, it was A.J. Pollock who struck out, and I don't remember who the first batter in that first and second in the fourth inning was, but he struck out. Those are the clutch at bats in runners in scoring position sequences, because then you get the pitcher to relax. Then you have some momentum and knowing that only you need is a ground ball to get out of that inning. Before that, you got the pitcher on the ropes, and the White Sox constantly let Freeland off of the ropes and let him relax the whole game.
The two innings you were talking about, bottom of third, Romy doubled to right, then Andrews struck out looking, then Mankata flied out to center, then Abreu lined out to center. In the bottom of the fourth, Jimenez single to right field, Vaughn walked, then Pollock struck out swinging, then Robert flied out to center, Evan Zavala flied out to left, which I got up for.
Yeah.
I thought Sebi got it, but he did not.
Right?
It was a great catch, but I thought it was gone. It still would have stayed in the park.
Guys, just to add to that, how many innings today do you think the Sox had a runner on at least second base, second or third?
Five. Those two, I recall. That's probably like three.
Six.
Damn.
Six different innings today they had a runner on second base.
Yeah, 0-11 with runners in scoring position and nine runners left on base. We do have a super chat from our guy, Stefan Bardo. Thank you very much for that. Starting to look at the offseason. This is a mess from the front office to the players. Hoping for changes for the GM and new manager. It's a mess. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Just because the owner has clearly the guy that he wants. The guy that the owner wants clearly has his own ideas of what he can do and cannot do and what he wants to do. He clearly wants to be the manager of the Chicago White Sox. And, that GM hasn't really built a sturdy window that is really being kept open. So I think, especially the way that the team has performed down the line, I think you'll see a new manager. I think you'll see probably a lot of the same players. And I think you'll see the same GM because he gets that nickname Teflon Han for a reason.
Yeah, I don't see him leaving. I don't know why he should. Why he shouldn't leave, because he created this. And you can say, well, he didn't hire the manager. Well, he should leave then. The offense wasn't built for a champion. These guys are not complete. The roster is not complete. We still see a right fielder is different every day. Our second baseman is different every day. We don't have solidified positions there where you had opportunities to go out and get somebody who's going to fill out those positions for at least 140 games. They didn't go out and do it. I mean, I love Josh Harrison, but that's not an everyday second baseman that you should be depending on in a championship window. Same thing with Gavin Sheets and Andrew Vaughn in right field. Now, Andrew Vaughn, I think, is going to be a good hitter and still is a good hitter. He's struggling right now, but that double in the late in the game was nice to see. But he's not a right fielder. He's not a left fielder. He's a first baseman DH type. This roster is a bunch of those guys with Aloy, with Jose Abreu, with Vaughn, and with Sheets. There's too many of those guys on this roster. So, yeah, the GM has definitely earned himself something other than coming back next year. I mean, a demotion, something, this is a last check. You got to do it next year or you're gone type of thing. Because this is unacceptable. This team is not a second-place team in any division, especially not the AL Central, because it's a crap division.
Yeah, amen. And we'll see that crap division's best two teams tomorrow in the battle of the AL Central.
One's actually good, and the other one's... Ugh.
The other one's all right. They have Jose Ramirez, which makes them a lot better than they actually are.
Tell you what.
Want to let you know about Green Ridge Farm. They're a Chicago local meat and cheese company offering you a better all-natural options. They're the makers of all-natural deli meat, sausages, and their famous meat sticks. Let me tell you, meat sticks make my workday better.
Yes.
White Sox could win. I could get a good parking spot. None of that matters. If we have meat sticks in the fridge, my day at work is going to be good. Period. They're perfect for tailgating, happy hour, school lunches, work lunches, pick me up during a White Sox game. These all natural meat sticks are hardwood smoked for 8 hours and with 16 grams of protein per stick, make a perfect post workout snack, Steven. Meat sticks come in chicken, black forest beef, and flavors like jalapeno cheddar and spicy chili. If you haven't tried them yet, you don't know what you're missing out on. And right now, when you order any 3 meat products at greenridgefarm.com and include a pack of meat sticks in your cars, those meat sticks will be free simply using code CHGO at checkout. So I'm telling you, meat sticks have changed my life. They have made my life better. They're like beef jerky, but 100 times better. All right. You should go out, get yourself some free meat sticks. All right. So order any 3 meat products at Green Ridge Farm today, at greenridgefarm.com today, and include a pack of meat sticks in your cart. Those meat sticks, again, will be free simply by using the code CHGO at checkout. Make sure, again, Green Ridge Farms, simply natural meat. Let's tell you, too, about FOCO. A lot of bobbleheads going around. They have that new giveaway or new ticket package for the White Sox. So you get a mystery bobblehead with a ticket. If you go to FOCO, you can pick out whatever bobblehead you want. Whether you're a Dallas Keuchel fan, you can celebrate his gold glove in 2021 with a bobblehead. If you like the City Connect jerseys, you can go check out FOCO. If you're looking for some NFL ones, football is back. You can go and get the fantastic selection of NFL bobbleheads they have over at FOCO. We already got you covered, CHGO does, for the best coverage of your favorite teams. So get fitted in the best sports gear around. FOCO has you covered from Soldier Field to the Front Room, north or south side, with hoodies, slippers, signs, bobbleheads, and everything in between. Get decked out like DeMar with apparel from the leaders in sports merchandise and collectibles. FOCO, if you're looking for the perfect gift for the football fan in your life, FOCO's got you covered with hoodies to fight that Lake Michigan breeze. So check out FOCO.com, FOCO.com, or click the link in the description below. And for all non-presale items, use promo code CHGO for 10% off your order. Again, FOCO.com. Let's head out to Guaranteed Rate Field and talk to Vinny Duber. You can follow him on Twitter, at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. Hi, Vinny.
Good afternoon, fellas. How are you today?
Good afternoon. We're all right. You know, a White Sox win would have made us a little bit more happier, but it's nice to be off. I mean, it's going to be like probably 5:30 where it's all said and done. You know, it's a nice night. I can't complain. You had a nice
cheer up,
article.
Fellas. It's just baseball. Come on. Exactly. Cheer up.
Exactly. The season's not over yet, which I think fans, are leaning towards. So we're just trying to yank everybody back onto the bus. But I want to talk to you about your great article brand new article at allchgo.com about Elvis Andrus and Tim Anderson and what they're going to do with Tim Anderson when he comes back. Sounds like Miguel Cairo had a definitive answer on what they're going to be doing with Tim Anderson once he comes back.
Yeah, I mean, that should be no surprise to anybody. Tim Anderson's the all-star shortstop for this team. Of course he's going to go back to shortstop. There really should never have been a doubt about that. But certainly the question was warranted of, well, if that's the case, when Tim Anderson comes back, what becomes of Elvis Andrus? Because he has been very good for these White Sox since he has joined up. And, you know, he's been part of the variety of sparks that have kind of created this kind of late season surge that's made this AL Central race pretty interesting. So the obvious answer, I think, is the one that most everybody's guessing, which is he's probably going to go to second base, right? But there could be some other wrinkles in there, too. Rick Hahn said that it's perhaps not going to be a case where TA is just there every day. You know, he's going to be coming back from a 6-month layoff, and there might be some rust that he needs to shake off, some rest that he's going to need after coming right back. The good news for fans who want to see Elvis Andrus stay in the lineup is that pretty much everybody else in the White Sox employ wants to see the same thing. Certainly that includes Rick Hahn, who's very pleased with what Andrus has been able to do offensively. It includes Miguel Cairo, who, you know, was basically asked point blank, but you want to keep Elvis in the lineup, right? And he goes, yeah, of course I do. And then it includes Elvis Andrus himself, who told me before the game today that it does not matter whether it's shortstop, second base, or any other position on the field. He's going to do whatever it takes because he's, for the first time in a long time, remember, he played for that Texas Rangers team that went to back-to-back World Series in the beginning of the last decade, and then for the second half of the last decade didn't do much of anything. It's been a while since he said it's been a long time since I've had this much fun. It's been a while since he's been in a playoff race. It's been a while since he's had a realistic shot of reaching the postseason. He says whatever is going to be able to get him back to that kind of feeling that he had during some of those glory days with the Rangers, he's going to be willing to do 100%, he said. So Elvis Andrus at second base, who knows whether the hell it'll work, but it certainly seems like something that we're going to see once Tim Anderson comes back, and that could be as soon as next week.
Yeah, I just want to give people the full quote that you're referring to because it is great from Elvis Andrus. At this point in my career, I just want to win, man. So whatever it takes, if it's me at short, second, anywhere else, I'll be down to do it. Hey, right field, it sounds like Elvis Andrus is calling your name. So yeah, that was some great stuff for Elvis Andrus. Definitely check out Vinny's latest piece at AllCHGO to check out those full quotes.
And today I saw Dylan Cease, the first batter he faced, the ball falls in between a couple of fielders. I know that as a pitcher, he has to suck that up, but that 25, 26 pitch first inning really bled into the second inning where I think he was at 56 and he wasn't have his premium command, but still managed in the 5 innings he did pitch to strike out 8. What do you have to say about his outing today where it was subpar of what Dylan Cease usually brings, but ultimately a good outing?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't happy about it. I think you could probably have guessed that. He didn't feel like he was real sharp with his stuff, and I think that showed. There were a lot of long at-bats and certainly a couple of walks in there that, you know, it's quote-unquote only 2 walks, but, you know, they really made a difference, be it in jacking up that pitch count or the one that came around to score, the leadoff walk that came around to score for the first run of the day for the Rockies. So, you know, when you combine a couple of walks with a couple of extra base hits, usually that results in a couple of runs. And it's something that bit Dylan Cease today. But that wasn't the story of today, I don't think. I mean, Dylan Cease gave up 3 runs in 5 innings. Okay. This is an offense that's been averaging over 6 runs since Miguel Cairo took over as acting manager. The White Sox didn't hit today. It's what Miguel Cairo said. He said, we couldn't hit. We didn't hit. And I asked him, did you like the at-bats? He said, yeah, they could have been better. You know, this is a team, I think, that we watched them for 5 months kind of have bad at-bats for the most part. And, you know, even though the times have been of the better, much better variety here over the last couple of weeks, it's the same team. And maybe it shouldn't be so surprising that every now and then they're going to slip into a game like this. I think what will be really telling is tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that, because not only are they going to play a big division game against the Guardians tomorrow in Cleveland, but throughout the first 5 months of this season, when you had a result like today or an offensive day like today, it tended to repeat itself. And we're going to find out if the White Sox are truly kind of out of the woods in terms of that, you know, kind of play grabbing hold and be them being unable to shake it, or if they truly have kind of found this fun reset button here at the 11th hour and are able to do what Miguel Cairo said, which is forget about it, take it one day at a time and focus on tomorrow, because that's the only game that you're going to be playing from here for the next 24 hours.
Yeah, did he expand on what he didn't like about the at-bats, or is it just kind of that coach talk of flush it, we'll just show up to the ballpark tomorrow?
Yeah, the latter. You know, I think anybody could have watched the game and realized that the at-bats were not the kind of at-bats that were yielding the big offensive outputs that they've had in recent weeks. So it's not something maybe where he needs to go in and you know, have another big fiery talk to the team. But it is something that, you know, he's a coach, right? So maybe he'll be harping on them individually just routinely. Hey, let's go. Come on. That kind of thing. So, again, I think we're going to learn a lot about tomorrow. Was this just one of those days? Because, again, every team has these days, and it shouldn't be terribly unusual to see it, especially from a team that showed it so often. But is this team going to stay in this kind of contention mode, you know, and that starts tomorrow? Not necessarily. You can't start it 2 minutes after you have a loss. You can only start it when the next game starts.
I'm just wondering if the guys, like, look forward to tomorrow's game, because today – like, Kyle Freeland was decent, but it seemed like they got, as our guy Steven Nicholas said, they got on second base 6 times out of the 9 innings they did bat. But a low for 11 and runners in scoring position, the execution, especially with runner on second, nobody out twice, didn't do anything. It's just so disappointing that, as Miguel Cairo said, they didn't have good at-bats. I'm sure he was focusing on the ones where it's runners in scoring position, didn't get the job done. Not only didn't score the runs, the guy didn't move from second. That's piss poor.
Yeah, I mean, they blew it, no doubt about it. We saw them do that over and over again throughout the summer, and here they've done it, you know, again. So, you know, like I said, I don't think anybody was expecting them, and if you were vastly mistaken that they were going to rattle off 20 in a row here. So this could just be one of those days where they screwed up, and, you know, they weren't able to get the hits when they needed to, and because of it, it's a loss and an ugly-looking one. That's why I say, you know, hold your judgment, not on what today looked like, obviously, because you can tell, but hold your judgment on whether this is some sort of horrible sign until we see what comes of it. Because if they start playing bad this whole weekend, if they blow it tomorrow against Cleveland, you know, then you can say, oh boy, they fell apart when they had a chance to keep it close with Cleveland. If they go to Cleveland and win tomorrow, we're not talking about this game really ever again, right? So we got to see what comes of it.
Yeah, I just want to go back to the last thing we kind of talked about last night. Do we get a final update on what the rotation will be like for the Sox tomorrow? Or
yes.
What the Sox rotation will look like after tomorrow?
Yes, Lance Lynn is starting tomorrow. I tweeted it out last night if you want to go pull it up. I don't know if my phone can handle me switching out of this app at the moment. But yeah, Lance Lynn is starting tomorrow in Cleveland. I believe it will be Giolito, Kopech, and Cueto in Detroit, in that order. Or what did I just say? Giolito, Cueto, Kopech in that order is my memory of that. But you can confirm by going and checking the Twitter.
Confirmed, yes. All right. So Lynn tomorrow, Giolito Friday, Cueto Saturday, Kopech Sunday. Have they talked about that move and why they made that move for Lance going up against Cleveland and Giolito going up against Detroit on Friday?
I think they just feel like Lance has been on a roll, and he has been, you know, that's been true. So I think they feel he's been pitching really well. Go ahead and make sure that he is going out there for the big moment. I honestly don't think that they were like, oh, we've got to restructure our rotation so the best pitcher on our team faces the Guardians for this one time. You know, obviously they've got a rotation to pitch for the rest of the year, not just tomorrow's one game, because even if everything goes great tomorrow, they're still not in first place. You know what I mean? It's not like it's the end all be all. They've got plenty of other games, including 3 next week against Cleveland, in which they've got to win. So I keep saying, right, every game is must win. It doesn't matter who's pitching. They've got the starting pitching to win every game, you know, in a vacuum, right? They've got the starting pitching to match up with basically anybody. And so whether it's Dylan Cease against Colorado, you should win the game that Dylan Cease pitches against Colorado. If it's Lance Lynn against Cleveland, Lance Lynn's pitching really well right now. You should win the game against Cleveland that Lance Lynn's pitching. That's how good their starting pitching is in my mind. And so, you know, the game, 3 games this weekend against Detroit, you got to win all 3 of those too Otherwise, you're not going to be in contention with Cleveland. And next week, when the Guardians come to the South Side, you've got a three-game series with the Guardians. Well, okay, well, if you lost 2 of 3 to Detroit, you're not going to be able to get into first place by sweeping the Guardians. So you got to put yourself in the position to compete with these guys, no matter whether you're going head-to-head with them or you're playing some team that everybody thinks you should beat. You got to beat all of these teams. Every single one of these games is a must-win game. They are 4 back in the division right now. It is nowhere near over, but they got to win. They got to beat these teams. They had to win today. They didn't. And so now it's harder, right? They have to win tomorrow, not just because it's Cleveland, but because of math. And so that's what they've got to do.
And Vinny, I want to know, in pregame, did Miguel Cairo or any of the players in the postgame talk about the Ken Rosenthal letter to Tony La Russa that was published on The Athletic?
No, players and coaches and managers don't usually comment on columns that people write.
Did you read it?
I read it, yeah.
What did you think of it?
I'm curious as to why we're talking about it, to be honest.
Okay, well, I mean, just because it's a White Sox show.
Seriously. Yeah, listen, I was expecting I saw Ken Rosenthal walking around the clubhouse and talking to guys. He is a hell of a reporter, and I saw him talking to guys last week or the last time the Sox were at home, and I was expecting something with quotes and with details and such like that, and this kind of struck as somebody on White Sox Twitter got a hold of Ken Rosenthal's computer. So again, everybody's entitled to their opinion, certainly. And he's one of them, and he's done a fantastic job over the years to earn the platform that he has. But again, I don't, if we were talking about news, it'd be one thing, but I don't think that's what this is.
Can you ask around the clubhouse and see how many players have Athletic subscriptions?
I would think you'd want me to ask around the clubhouse to see how many players have CHGO subscriptions, to be quite honest.
There you go. Yeah, that's a better question. All right, let's go to – because since Dylan pitched today, I just want to get this discussion with you three, or us three being on here. So Dylan for Cy Young, we made the Cy C shirt. Let's show where the kind of Cy C's candidates – shape up right now, and then we'll kind of see if Dylan leads right now, if you'd vote somewhere else. Kind of just want to get your votes right now on September 14th. So Dylan has a 14-6 win-loss record. This is before today. That's now 14-7. A 2.06 ERA. Again, that's gone up a little bit just with what he did today. 167 innings pitched now, a 2.95 FIP, a B-WAR of 5.8, and an F-WAR of 4.1. Verlander, a 1.84 ERA. He leads the league in ERA. You have Shane McClanahan, lefty, 2.20 ERA, 147 and one-third innings pitched. Shohei Ohtani obviously doing it on both sides, not only hitting, but he's also got a WAR of 4.8 on the pitching side as well, a 2.55 ERA. Alek Manoah, 14-7, a 2.43 ERA for the Blue Jays, 177 and two-thirds innings pitched. And then you also got Framber Valdez, who's been coming up as of late, 15-5, a 2.50 ERA, and he's got the most innings pitched out of this six pitchers here with a 179 and two-thirds innings pitched so far in 2022. So, Vinny, looking at this screen, if you had to cast a vote, which I don't think you're voting for the Cy Young this year, who would you place your vote on?
Man, I don't envy the people who do have a Cy Young vote this year, I'll tell you that much. Listen, I think Dylan's got as good a case as anybody. I think there's numbers that you haven't thrown up there, in strikeouts and walks, right? I mean, these are pretty standard things. I know you folks are advanced over there. Sean, you're an advanced guy. You like the boire and the foire, I understand. But, Dylan struck out a lot of guys. And that's good. That's what you should be doing. Dylan's walked a lot of guys, and that's what you shouldn't be doing. And I think somebody wrote about it, months ago, maybe even, because this has really kind of been consistent throughout the whole season with Dylan. This is going to be just the weirdest Cy Young case imaginable, because here's a guy who's striking everybody out. He's doing run prevention. He's looking great. And he's also leading the league in walks. I don't know if he's still leading the league in walks. I would imagine he is, but that is a really hard thing to decipher. I like innings. I put some weight on that. I've had Cy Young votes in the past, and I really like looking at that innings pitched. I mean, how much did you go out and be a horse for your team? And really, Dylan's not that far off. Even Framber Valdez, who had a ton of innings there, as you've shown, Dylan's, especially after today, is not
12 innings.
Plenty more than 10 behind him. So
right.
It is not some sort of gigantic difference there. Listen, I think if Dylan ends the season with an ERA around 2 and more strikeouts than anybody in the American League, I think it'd be pretty hard to keep him off the top line there. Listen, Justin Verlander, though, has been excellent. You remember he was my preseason pick for this award, and I think I'm not sure you could go wrong with voting for him either. I think right now, today, I'd probably go with Dylan, but there's some starts left to be made, and if Justin Verlander is going to be making them for a Houston team that's obviously going to the postseason, you know, he can put some icing on his resume as well.
As I said before, with September being the last month, well, there's a little bit games in October, but people who are focusing in and voting for these things are going to be focused into these games in particular. So somebody's looking at this game and they're like, oh, five innings, three runs versus the Colorado Rockies. Ugh, I'll wait until Verlander comes back on Friday. Verlander pitches a nice game on Friday, then that swings back to Verlander. So if my vote goes to Verlander as of right now, because of this performance, you know, not dropping Dylan Cease down another level. And on the head-to-head, Verlander did out-pitch him. So I would say that Verlander, especially the story, the 39-year-old, the comeback player, most people will vote for him.
Well, the ERA under two helps too. I think that's the one thing that just Cease might edge Verlander out on is innings pitched, like you said, Vinny, and also just game started. That's the one thing, I guess, you know, per game, Verlander's going out for more innings because he's limiting those walks and he's able to be a little bit more efficient. But Cease has just been so healthy and has made every single start for the White Sox. I think Verlander will probably take it just because he's probably going to come back and have like four starts where he doesn't allow an earned run and locks it up for Vinny. So I think I'm going to go Verlander here. But if Cease comes out and has a nice end of the season, I think it could play for him. But that's slider. He needs to figure out that location because today it wasn't perfect for him. But check out Vinny's latest article on Elvis Andrus and Tim Anderson and the kind of debacle they have there on playing time and where Elvis will play once Tim Anderson returns, hopefully next week. You can follow Vinny on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. Thanks, Vinny.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Later.
Take it easy. And if you are trying to be at Guaranteed Rate Field, just like Vinny Duber is, you can buy tickets through the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. I asked last night, do they have tickets to the Pavement Show on September 22nd? They do, and they have flash deals. I was able to find tickets for $32.
Damn.
I work that night. It was a pair of tickets for $32 at the Chicago Theater on the floor. I did not buy them because we have a pregame show at 6:30.
Take off.
Concert starts at 7.
Take off.
Hey, I thought about it. $16 to go see Pavement? Ooh, baby. They are the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows.
I got it for free the other day when I ran against Yasmani Grandel.
There you go. You tasted that pavement right there.
Oh, man.
If you've ever dreamed of sitting on that pavement, on that nice pavement that you never thought you could before, or sitting in row 2R of the Chicago Theater watching a reunited pavement, it's possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you thought you could never buy. You won't find a better deal this season on White Sox tickets, maybe Bears tickets, maybe pavement tickets. You will, you know, obviously be refunding your money too. I mean, they got 100%, 110%. Price guarantee. So it guarantees the lowest price. You get 110% money of your money back if you do find a better deal. Herb had to deal with their fantastic customer service, and they got his money to him real quick.
12 minutes back. I still got the $46 credit but for my Atlanta Braves ticket. They're perfect.
You could buy pavement tickets and still have money left over.
And the thing I like about Game Time, like say you're like want to see a game, and it might be a little too much for your liking, a little too much everywhere on all the game sites. Wait the first, second inning, prices drop. They go down. And yes, you missed the first two innings, but you got into the game cheaper and better seats than you would have otherwise. I love that about Game Time. That's why I keep it on my phone.
And it was created by fans for the fans. That's why us fans love using the app. So if you love CHGO, then you'll love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all of your favorite events. And I want to let you know about the other place you can come check us out at. It is $34 to come to the first ever CHGO tailgate. And you may be wondering, what is $34 going to get me? How about free food and drinks? It's always nice.
4 hours of that.
Sounds pretty sweet, huh? I'm trying to find the exact wording of the thing. It's an important announcement, so not hangout. There we go. It's our all-inclusive tailgate experience at the corner of Michigan and Roosevelt, and it will feature a top-rated food truck, brews and booze, games, and a music from a local DJ, again, only for $34. And the lot is less than a 15-minute walk to Soldier Field through Grant Park. Limited parking upgrades are also available, but are going fast. So if you want to bear down at the biggest and best party in the Windy City, go to allchgo.com and reserve your spot now, or click the link in the description for more information below. It's a four-hour tailgame. It begins at 8 a.m. and goes all the way to kickoff.
And if you're joining us out there, which we hope you join us on September 25th, a Sunday, versus Lovey's Texans, check out the Game Time app while you're there.
Hey,
you don't have tickets to the game? Cool. You can watch the prices just drop down. And then like at 12:01, while we're kind of wrapping up, you know, the party's going to still go. But you can look. Hey, man, I can just walk over to Soldier Field right now. Tickets are in my price range. Hit it. Game Time app. You're in the game. You had a great time. Probably not too sauced up, but nice. Feeling real nice with the combination of the food truck and the alcohol. Man, you'll be feeling real good. And Lovey, getting ready to cheer on Lovey's Texas Houston Texans to lose.
Why would you be cheering them on to lose? There you go. You went all different ways to make that one.
You went back.
Let's go to tomorrow's game because it's an all-important one. White Sox are four games back of the Guardians, who won today. Again, I think it's smart that they moved Lance Lynn or Dylan Cease to this game. I didn't mind if it was either Cease or if it was Lynn, as long as it was somebody. So I'm happy the White Sox made that switch, but the Guardians also made a weird switch here. Hunter Gaddis is going to be starting for the Guardians tomorrow. Tristan McKenzie will start the series opener against the Twins on Friday. Full pitching explanation to come. That's from Zach Meisel out in Cleveland. So very odd. Hunter Gaddis has made one start this year, August 5th against the Astros. 3 1/3, 7 hits allowed, 8 earned runs, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts, 2 home runs allowed. So what the fuck are the Guardians doing here, Herb?
Well, they're putting a pitcher out there that's going to go 6 2/3, 1 earned run, 15 strikeouts versus the White Sox. I mean, in AAA, his numbers are decent. They're not bad. I think he has more strikeouts than innings pitched, and much fewer hits than innings pitch. So he's doing work down there in AAA. But here, the one time he had to go up to the major leagues is terrible because he had to go versus one of the best teams in baseball. So, yeah, Hunter Gaddis, I don't know him. White Sox don't know him. But expect this dude who looks like a mountain man to go out there and shove versus the White Sox.
Yeah.
I don't care if we don't know him. I don't care if he was bad in his first and his only start in the major leagues. He's going to go out there and dominate the White Sox tomorrow.
If you were wondering where Hunter Gaddis was and your mind immediately didn't think Georgia by the name Hunter Gaddis, you'll just look at Hunter Gaddis and be like, oh, yep, Georgia. Mountain man, yep. Georgia. West Virginia or Georgia, that's where those people come from.
Yeah, I went to Georgia State, which I took a picture of when I was leaving Atlanta. It's right downtown Atlanta. Down they play at
the old Turner Field. Nice.
Yeah, now it's called something different, but they've renovated that to a football stadium only.
There you go.
What a novel concept. Your team leaves the city, and then you take your old facility and turn it into something new. Maybe we can do that here.
Instead of turning a baseball field into a football field, we turn a football field into a baseball field, is what you're saying?
See how that works?
There you go.
Well, it's hard to get to, Herb. It's a showplace for baseball. Right downtown Chicago. Make it happen, Sox.
And get rid of the damn UFO, all right? Get rid of the UFO. Make sure you can see the skyline from the actual park. Maybe even knock down what the north kind of scoreboard and stuff. Really open it up. Really let us see that lovely skyline. But Hunter Gaddis down in AAA in 22 games. He's got 110 and 2/3 innings pitched, a 4.15 ERA. That's between AAA and AA. You're right, though, about the strikeout numbers. 11.8 K per 9, 145 over those 22 games started for Hunter Gaddis. He features a fastball, a changeup, a cutter, and curveball.
Oh, no slider?
No slider.
Oh, that cutter might act like a slider.
Four-seam fastballs around 93, cutters around 85. So I guess the cutter is more of the slide piece that you're thinking of. Mm-hmm. Changeups at 77. So a big differential there between the four-seam fastball and the changeup. He focused on that, the changeup 15 times in his first start, and guys hit 500, 500, 500, and 538. So, yeah, they crushed the shit out of it.
I mean, it's the Astros. So I give him a mulligan on that one versus the Astros. The White Sox are a different animal, different beast altogether. They're going to see this guy. He's going to look great early. Like, why are we not hitting him?
Ooh.
And it's like the same old thing.
Well,
and while the Guardians are going to nickel dime the White Sox, Lance is going to pitch well. They're going to win like 4-1. And we're going to be like, oh, season's over.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I want to go up to something Clark said in the chat before, like, what's happened with the White Sox? How have they actually turned it around? Because obviously Miguel Cairo has been managing them, and they are 10-5 in the 15 games that he's managed since Tony has stepped out. But you look at the actual numbers and what's changed. Have they been hitting less ground balls? Not really. 45% to 44% since August 30th. Are they hitting less opposite field balls? Well, not really. Are they hitting the ball harder? Well, not really. There's not really anything that they're doing worse or better. I think they're just hitting home runs.
Yes.
So can they continue that? Hopefully against a guy that doesn't really have that great stuff like Hunter Gaddis, they can continue that. They need to win this game tomorrow in Cleveland. This one is a must win. I think we could put our first ever must win warning on this, because if you fall five games back, you still have three games left against them. But this is really coming dire. I think the less and less games that come up on the schedule. They're 73-70, so 19 games left on the season for the Sox. So tomorrow is probably the first must-win one of the year.
And as I said in the pregame, they lose tomorrow or any of the remaining games versus Cleveland Guardians, they lose the season series, which is big this year because of the no tiebreaker rule and because of the no tiebreaker game. They end the year with the same record as the Cleveland Guardians somehow. They'll go back as the first tiebreaker as the season series, the head-to-head matchup. Cleveland wins one more of the four games, it's over. They've won the season series. So the White Sox didn't do their work early, so now they have to rush and win all four games with them. So it's a must-win. Like, we'll only put those on games that are actually must-win. It is a must-win. All the Cleveland games are must-wins from here on out.
Yeah.
Because you didn't do your job before this.
Amen. And if you're looking for some hope, the only hope I can find for you is back on September 14th, 1995 in the AL West, the California Angels were 72-57. They were up five games against the Seattle Mariners, who were 67-62. And then the Mariners went on a run, ending up winning the AL West that year in 1995. And part of that was going on an eight-game winning streak and taking care of business against California when they faced them. They went 2-1 to end the season against the Angels there. So White Sox need to take care of business and defeat the Guardians and just honestly win. And don't stop winning. Just keep winning. Don't stop now, boys.
Can I ask you, do we have Ken Griffey Jr. on this team?
No.
Okay. I was just wondering, because, and are they like the Tim Salmon Angels over there? I mean, I appreciate you giving us some, you're bright, sunshiny Sean over there. Instead of Herbie Sunshine. Man. I mean, it's like, yeah, that's happened before, but it's, as I said on my tweet, I think Vinny had tweeted something out from Miguel Cairo, like complimenting how well the Cleveland Guardians play. They play well, they hit well, they pitch well, they pick the ball up. It's like, the thing about the Cleveland Guardians, they rarely defeat themselves. We could see time and time again how many times the White Sox have beaten themselves, where a team is not as good as them, but the White Sox do some error and do something. Hey. Like even today.
Yeah, I mean, look at
today, what the simple play where the ball's hit to left field, Pollock throws the ball in, and there's no chance to get the guy at home. Somebody's got to yell cut to Moncada. And Moncada has got to learn that the ball's not fast enough to get the runner out and just got to cut it himself. Ball goes past. Then Sebi Zavala misses the ball. Then it keeps on going. The guy who just hit the single advances to second. I think it was CJ Cron. These things are things that winning teams don't do. They don't beat themselves. Those little things right there cost games.
First play
right
of the there. Game. First play of the game, you have a pop-up to right field. There's four White Sox there. The ball falls in between all four.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
We've seen this all year long where we literally have a player out with an ACL tear because one of our outfielders ran right into our infielder in Danny Mendick, who was helping at the time. How many times have the guys ran into each other? It still happened, like, this month. So the communication's bad. The coaching's bad. It's happened time and time again. Where the White Sox are not well coached, they do not play well fundamentally. And the Cleveland Guardians are everything the White Sox should be fundamentally. They're not a better team. They don't have better players, but their players that they have play the game right.
Yeah, the White Sox are not a World Series contender because they don't field well and they don't run the bases well. They are not a division contender because Andrew Vaughn struggles. They got right fielders in left field. They got left fielders in center field. They got first baseman in left field. And just the continued injuries or weirdness around them. Luis Robert in the second half has just been brutal. I don't think he has a hit Well, I think he just got his first hit since August 24th.
Chi-Town Fanboy says Luis Robert has two, count them, two RBIs in the second half of this season.
So, I don't know. With 19 games left, nothing is giving me a ton of hope that the White Sox will win the AL Central. I think it will be interesting. So, I think we'll at least have a full 162 that we'll have to pay attention to. It might come down to the last game of the series, but I definitely think it will come down to the final last three games before the White Sox are officially announced dead. So, all I'm saying is it's not over yet.
You got to become very big Minnesota Twins fans this weekend as the Guardians play five versus them in a wraparound series after the White Sox play them tomorrow. So hope those bums actually show up like they didn't last week at the goddamn crib when they got shut out. They got swept by the Cleveland Guardians. I hate the Twins.
And hopefully the Guardians get too overconfident. Maybe they just stop running the bases well, run into the second ever 7-8 triple play.
As I look at their schedule, there's no Seattle on the schedule for the Cleveland Guardians, who summarily just beat the hell out of the Cleveland Guardians. Guardians only got one of the seven games.
So the White Sox need to be their own kryptonite, is what
you're
saying.
They have to be the Cleveland Guardians. That's how the White Sox got back close after they were starting to win, and the fact that they beat the Seattle Mariners themselves made it a close race. But now we are sad because the White Sox are bad.
We'll see what happens tomorrow. We will be with you for the pregame show. It will be me, Vinny, and Herb in studio as the White Sox head out to Cleveland play them. Yes, at 12:10. So we'll have an 11:30 pregame show for you here, probably live in Studio B. You can follow Herb on Twitter at EchnerMull23. He's a CHGO White Sox community leader. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. You can follow Vinny Duber on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. That's going to do it for the CHGO White Sox postgame show. We will talk to you tomorrow to preview the huge game between the Guardians and White Sox. It's Lance Lynn versus whatever Hunter Gaddis is. Thank you to Stephen Nicholas for producing.
Those are people who kill animals and bring it back to their family.
Hunter and Gaddis's.
I was confused.
Thank you to Stephen Nicholas for producing the show, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Thank you to Fleetwood Mac for their 1979 album, Tusk. Bye.